The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what is my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. So it's that great time of year when families start gathering together. Some for Thanksgiving, some for Christmas, some in between. Maybe you're just doing Friendsgiving, it doesn't matter. Because when family gathers, stories get told. Am I right? And I want to tell a story, and I can't tell a story from the pulpit. I gotta tell a story like you're sitting around the dining room table. And our stories are important. I know the stories I hear at my table growing up. If it was Dad's family, I would hear about growing up in the desert when there was no stoplight anywhere between Palm Springs and Indio. And that my grandmother never wanted to move to La Quinta because it was the middle of nowhere. Or if I'm with my mom's family, I'll hear about how my aunt would kiss everybody goodnight, my grandma, my grandpa, my uncle, the dog, and then my mother. Right? These are the, you all have these, right? You all have this version of stories that you have heard for your whole lifetime. And we say in our baptism class, it's important to know the Christian story. And I say in my premarital counseling, it's important to know the story of the family that you're marrying into, right? You gotta know your stories. And so today, when I read the Judges reading, I was like, they are telling the story. They're telling the story like you would tell it on a first date. So I have this really cool aunt, Deborah, and like she's a judge and a prophetess, and like she helped deliver Israel. It was really cool. That is so not the story. So I'm going to tell you this story. How many of you know the full story of Deborah or remember the full story of Deborah? Okay. Two of you. This is good. So Deborah, we finished with Moses and Joshua, and Joshua's gone, and the Israelites say, who's going to rule us now? And so some judges show up in the book of Judges, talks about the judges, and one of them was a woman by the name of Deborah, and she was a prophetess, and she was married or from the household of the name mentioned, and she was a judge. And judge meant that you would come to her and she would give decisions both on individual but also for the land of Israel, who had been disobedient, and true to form, they're disobedient, and so God sends someone to, you know, conquer them for a while, teach them a lesson, like they get a time out. And so Israel's been in this 20-year time out. And Deborah is sitting under the tree, and she understands that the time has come for them to be liberated from their captors. So she calls to Barak, the head of the army, and she says, Barak, this is it. Our time has come. We're going to go beat those people with 900 iron chariots. Like, these aren't little chariots. These are the mega chariots. Like, this is you coming in with tanks, and the other side is still fighting on horses. Right? Two different types of cavalry. So she says, this is the time God has spoken. Gather your armies, and we are going to go defeat Sisera. And Barak says, that's great, but you're the wise one here. I am not going to go if you don't go with me. And Deborah goes, all right, fine, I'll go. But by the way, you don't get to kill Sisera. That's going to happen at a hand of a woman because you're making me come along. And he's like, fine, whatever. Can we just conquer these people and be free? So they go up to Mount Tabor, and they're all set up, and they're getting ready. And Deborah finally says, today is the day. And so the armies roll down, and they take out all of the 900 iron chariots. Who knows how? The hand of God is mighty. And Sisera, like any good general, totally flees when he's being conquered. And like leaves his 900 defeated chariots and people behind, and he goes running to his buddy's wife who made the chariots. So Hazor made the chariots, his wife is Jael, and he shows up at Jael's tent and says, help me. Now I'm not going to get down into the nitty gritty of it, but men just don't go in women's tents. It's a big no-no. That's more than a no-no. That assumes a whole lot of other things happen in that tent. We'll just leave it there. We're keeping it PG. So Sisera shows up at Jael, is her name. He shows up at Jael's tent and says, Jael, you know, will you hide me? You know, the armies are being defeated. And Jael says, yes, of course, come in. Okay. And so she brings him in, and she hides him under a carpet. And he says, I'm thirsty. Will you give me something to drink? And she says, yes. And she brings him milk and gives him milk. And he has his milk. And then he has to mansplain what she needs to do and says, now go stand by the tent door. And if anybody asks you if I'm here, say no. Like she hadn't figured that out. But thank you, Sisera, under the carpet. So Jael, maybe being moved by the Spirit of the Lord, I have no idea. Jael goes and picks up a tent peg out of the ground. Where are the kids? Okay, don't listen. Picks a tent peg out of the ground and drives it through Sisera's head. End of Sisera. Now, that's our story, people. That's part of our story. That's right. You know, the really juicy ones that you only tell when you really, really know each other well. But it's important that we know our story. And people could say, well, Jael and the violence and what? And I would say, yes, And yet all you have to do is look at the issue of domestic violence in our country, and that story is still going on. So we have to be honest about what our story is. But the other part of our story, not just the ending, although it is dramatic, and if you want some of the other commentaries on it, see me after the service. But I think what's more important is that Deborah and Barak and Jael all did what God called them to do. Each and every one of them was faithful to the best of their ability, which is exactly what the Gospel of Matthew is talking about today with talents. You know, talents isn't necessarily about money, and talent does not mean, like, you know, your ability to tap dance or play a trumpet or sing a song. What God is talking about, what Jesus is talking about, is your God-given gifts that are part of who you are as God's created child. And in your creation, each and every single one of us have been given gifts that we are called to use. And maybe your gift is working with your hands, or working with numbers, or working with children, or working with animals, or feeding the homeless, or taking people into your home. There are a million different gifts. And what God cares about is you using your gift, your God-given gifts, and that when you use them, you bring about the kingdom of God. And we have different gifts when we're age 6 and 7 than we do at 47 or even 77. But we have gifts that we are continually called to use. And the only way that you can mess that up is to not participate. Right? To bury your gift. That is the only way you cannot participate in the kingdom of God. And a friend of mine was explaining it like this, that when we're young, when we're new to Christianity, using our gifts may just be coming to church or learning how to pray, but then those gifts begin to grow, right? They manifest into something more, and suddenly we're reading the Bible, that weird book that sat around the house, but nobody ever opened it. You know, or maybe you're beginning to find other people to talk about the Bible with, or maybe you're finding that God is calling you to help others in a way that you have never felt that call before. As we continue to engage our gifts of our faith, we continue to bring about the kingdom of God. And that's what that lesson is about. That's what Matthew is saying in the gospel. Not that you should go and end up where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. No, Matthew is saying, go out. Find your gifts and use your gifts. For that is the story we are called to tell every day of our lives. Amen.